Yes, Yoda, na, 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 na Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Vibhav means that which stimulates the emotion. Anubhav is that which follows the stimulation. Astasattvikabhav means the eightfold emotions that are present as a natural, as a constituent part of the soul who is Krishna conscious. And there's other ones too. I'll explain the other ones right now before we go on. The next one is called the Sancharibhav, which is also called Vyabhacharibhav, which there's 33 of them. And that these are emotions that are intermittent and uncontrollable. So we'll get to those in the next chapter. And then the last type of explanation of bhavas or emotions is called sthayi bhav. Sthayi bhav means what one's, it's not really an emotion per se, it has more to do with the taste that one has from one's relationship with Krishna. As you know, there's five different rasas that one can have. I think you all know that, right? Shantaras, which is the peaceful ras. Ras, which means just like our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or for those of you, Jewish, Ma Israel, I don't know, you'll think, I don't know, I collect that verse.
Not really, I'm kind of like a Hebrew school dropout.
All right, anyway, so I won't speak in Hebrew. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's basically the same thing. He's one. There shall be no other God. So that's, I mean, anyway, that's Shantaras. Then after that is what's called Dasha Ras, which means servitude, that I'm a servant of God. And the next one after that is called Sakya Ras, which means God is my good old buddy. And after that is Vatsalya Ras, which is the parental relationship. God is my kid. Let me spank him. Or as Mother Yashoda did, let me run after him with a stick if he doesn't behave himself. And then the last one is Madhurya Ras, which is the conjugal relationship like the gopis and Krishna. So you've got these five different rasas. And it's interesting that the qualities of the preceding ones are present in the succeeding ones. In other words, let's say you have this, the Salvatasha, the servitude. So servitude is also there in the Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. But it actually increases in, let's say, depth as it goes up. I mean, for example, you have in Madhurya Ras, the Ras of the gopis, the idea that, I don't know if you know this story, but maybe you've heard it, but I can tell again. Once upon a time, Krishna had a headache. Did you hear the story? No. Okay. Once upon a time, Krishna had a headache, and the only cure for his headache was the dust of the feet of his devotees. And so Narada Muni went around, and he went around to different devotees, and all of them said, hell no. Because if we give the dust of our feet, we go to hell. So we're not going to do that. But then he went to the gopis, and the gopis immediately, you know, picked up their feet or whatever. Picked up the dust and gave it to Narada Muni. He said, take it, take it. And Narada Muni said, aren't you afraid of going to hell? And they said, we don't care. We don't care if we go to hell. Actually, I should change this so people can see me rather than Maha Mantra. It's a good idea. I mean, because he's not giving class, but he's singing. So the gopis said, we're not afraid of going to hell, we just want Krishna's headache to be cured. Or as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the last chapter, Radharani says that if my misery gives Krishna happiness, then that's my happiness. So that's the perfection of service. In other words, the quality of servitude is there in all the rasas after the Shanta rasa, the peaceful rasa. And then you go, of course, the next one after that is friendship. So the quality of friendship, or let's say equality with God. Like in Dasha Ras, if someone is just situated in the servitude relationship, there's no concept of, that, you know, God is my buddy or he's equal to me or an intimate relationship. It just doesn't occur in Dasha Ras, in pure Dasha Ras. And then as you move up to Sakya, then, like, God is my friend. So, and some of Krishna's friends are actually in a superior position of Krishna. In other words, they're like older friends. And some of them are inferior position. But it's really like very close. Like Arjuna, for example, would lie on the same bed with Krishna and he would joke and, you know, punch him and everything like that. And then in the Gita, Arjuna says, forgive me for doing all that stuff, you know. For calling you, you know, Krishna, and you hate Krishna, like that. So that's, you saw, so in other words, that's the quality of intimacy. And that quality of intimacy is further perfected, or the, even the quality of superiority over God is perfected with Yashodamaya in the Vatsalya Ras, where she can actually run after Krishna with a stick, threatening to beat him. You know, it's described in the prayer of the Dhammadharashtaka that he is feared by fear personified. You know, everybody in the material world, hopefully, they should fear God. Yet, he's fearing his mother. Because that's under Yogamaya, and he's fearing his mother. She's running after him, and he's crying. And tears are coming out from his eyes. And then, so that's a more of an intimate and even a superior relationship. And then you have the gopis, who bring that to the real perfection, because there's still the servitude to the highest degree. There's the friendship to the highest degree. There's the superiority to the highest degree. So the gopis are actually one of the qualities of Srimati Radharani is that she keeps Krishna wrapped around her little finger, so to speak. You know, she controls Krishna. That's one of the qualities of Srimati Radharani. So that really brings all the qualities of the perceiving rasas into perfection, you know, into the absolute platform. So anyway, so that's called Stai Bhava. And every one of us has one of those primary relationships with Krishna, or primary tastes of relationship with Krishna. And the idea is by Krishna consciousness, by the performance of bhakti, we actually realize it after some time. You know, what we are, who we are, but it's a gradual process. It can't be imposed on us from outside, or while we have what's called anarthas. Anarthas means the unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those other wonderful things. You can't really understand what your relationship is. And so anyway, and then you have those five stai bhavas, and then you have seven rasas that are indirect rasas after that. Have you heard that before? No. We have a normal stai bhava, which is one of those five. I mean, give an example. Let's say someone here is a coward boy, okay? So that's it, you know, he's a coward boy. He can't do anything about it. He's a coward boy. But then you have this, no matter what he does, put on a sari or anything like that, he's a coward boy. So then you have these seven indirect rasas that flavor, they're more like spices that flavor a particular vegetable. I mean, let's use the example of a vegetable. Let's say you have, right, tonight, you know, I cook beets. So beets have a particular taste to them. Now, in order to really bring out the taste of the beets, you need to add, what I added was a little asafoetida and turmeric. It's hard, I was looking for asafoetida, finally I found it. Anyway, so I added asafoetida and turmeric. And when Shori cooked last night, she added too many spices anyway. Too many spices. But I just take very few spices. Because otherwise, if you take too many spices, it's called in Hindi, it's called masala. It actually you lose the taste. Actually, all you get is like the mixed spices, and you can't distinguish between the spices. It's interesting how in India they actually put sometimes too many spices in something. It's better just two or three spices, because then you actually can get the taste of the spice. Anyway, so those are the indirect rasas. They're like the spices that go on top of the normal spice of the vegetable. And there's seven of those, and some of them are like humor. Like sometimes, I mean, for example, you have like Krishna and the gopis, and sometimes it's very humorous things they do. Like, you know, sometimes the gopis will take a stick to beat Krishna. I mean, of course, there's humor mixed there, and there's another indirect rasa, which is like fear. Because Krishna is fearful. And there's another one like abhuta, shock, like that. So you got all these indirect rasas that actually flavor the person's direct rasa, which doesn't change. The stai bhava doesn't change once someone is there. I mean, they could, technically, if they really, you know, some coward boy is saying, I'd really like to be a gopi. You know, Krishna, please make me a gopi. And he clicks his heels together.
Is there any example of this?
I know. It's very rare. Prabhupada said it can happen, but there's no examples that I've ever read in Shastra about it. But, you know, because basically it's the person's desire to serve Krishna in a particular way, and it's inherent in the soul. Although technically one could decide, you know, those gopis are having more fun than us coward boys. and technically one could do it, although I find no examples of it. And so anyway, so you got all these cool indirect Russes, you know, like humor, you know, a lot of humor, and then even there's one called Ghastliness, which is interesting, and that is not always compatible with the other Russes, because it creates like a, what we call Russ and Fuss, it creates an improper mixture. Mm-hmm. It's just like if one, I mean, for example, there's different spices you definitely don't want to mix with other spices. Isn't it? I mean, certain spices just like, don't do it. You know, one's an expert. Actually, the cook is sometimes called it, you know, Rasacharya, Rasakya, one who knows the taste. You know, that's actually, or Rasa Raj, one who knows the king of the taste. So these are different names of cooks. It's also names of Krishna and names of people who know the different rasas. It's interesting. Actually, I find it very interesting. And then, so Ghastliness is usually there when it's like some demon that Krishna is killing. For example, you have Parashuram, who's the warrior incarnation of Krishna, who killed the Kshatriyas so many times, and there were rivers of blood, and lakes of blood, actually. That's pretty ghastly.
Isn't it also associated with Shanta?
Like yeah, with Shanta Ras. It's associated with Shanta. Usually, you don't have ghastliness, really, in conjugal. But, actually, sometimes you have fear in conjugal Ras. Like, Krishna arranged for a snake to frighten the gopis so they would hug him. You know, so that was fear. So fear is there sometimes in conjugal Ras. So usually ghastliness is there, like, if someone has a statement, like, there's one great devotee, Jamunacharya said, you know, whenever I think of material life, I simply want to spit. You know. And Prabhupada, one time, he was quoting this, and he actually spat. You know, whatever I think. Actually, the statement is, I've been feeling newer and newer Ras, never, never Ras. Newer and newer pleasure, so whenever I think of material life, spit. So that's ghastliness. So that, which is an interesting one. Anyway, so there's all these. This is really what's going on in this section of the Nectar of Devotion. A description of the rasas and the tastes from the rasas. And the ecstasies from the rasas. So anyway, so pure devotees experiencing this. And like we said yesterday, that even someone who's not pure, there's this dried up ecstasy whether they can experience when they're in good association. Like I gave that example last night of when I heard Prabhupada on the radio for the first time. I felt ecstasy. And, you know, I certainly wasn't situated in devotional service. I was still going to the university at that time or something. So, anyway, so we'll go on, unless you have questions about that point.
I had some questions, just one question about this
Stibhav, yeah.
So
Stibhav means like steady.
Right. We have that, like, natural.
It's inherent. In other words, it has some,
like,
it's our nature.
Right. And does it shine through, every now and then with the people we like love?
Not necessarily, mainly because in this material world, the three modes of nature generally. I mean, we can get glimpses of it, just like it's described in the Gita, like when one is enlightened by the knowledge by which nations are destroyed, then, anyway, knowledge is like the sun coming up in the morning, you get a gradual glimpse of shadows and black and white, and eventually you see some colors. So you can get a glimpse of it, but we really can't, we have to be careful about projecting our own, let's say, subtle bodily or gross bodily consciousness upon our eternal Rus. You know, to think to think, for example, you know, that my feelings have anything or my body has anything to do, you know. And I'll give you a practical example of my own Krishna consciousness. When I was a young devotee, you have to go. Too bad. Too bad, medicine. Right, see you all later. So, when I was a new devotee, I was sitting down with the other brahmacharis in the ashram, and we were reading about the coward boys, and we looked at each other and said, yes, we must all be coward boys in the spiritual world, because basically reading about the coward boys, we got attracted to it. And it's really, that is just like a projection of our own, let's say, consciousness at that time, which is probably pretty mundane. I mean, we're reading Krishna books, so it wasn't that mundane, but it was sort of a mixture, like a mixture of something mundane with something transcendental. So it didn't reflect reality. Or as far as we know, it didn't. Maybe it did. Yeah.
I know you can't really, put Lord Shiva on the same level as all the rest of us conditioned souls.
Right.
And maybe this is like a superficial example, but yeah. Like this Gopeshwar is kind of like, is it like a superficial
Gopeshwar
change of form? It's not a change of rasa with Krishna.
No, because Lord Shiva is a servant. He has a servitude relationship. He's not a jiva, obviously.
Yeah.
He's in a special category, somewhere in between. Yeah. He's neither jiva nor Vishnu. Tattva. You know, tattva means category, basically. He's neither in the god category or in the individual soul category. But his relationship is always a servitude. And so he serves Krishna by being in that form. A Gopeshwar Mahadev guards the holy dham, but he doesn't dance with Krishna.
Right.
There's a difference. You know, that would be conjugal ras, or the Madhurya ras. So he's serving, you know, he's just, as part of his servant, service. I mean, just like Krishna sometimes dresses, we mentioned, in drag, but that doesn't mean he's a woman. He does have a woman incarnation. Mohini Murti. Yeah, so, which is kind of interesting. So Krishna can do anything. I mean, he just doesn't follow any rules. So, but Lord Shiva is very special, and he's, even if he appears in a female form, it's not that he has a conjugal relationship with Krishna. He still has that same, he's serving by guarding the holy dham. And Narada Muni the same way. Narada Muni doesn't have a conjugal relationship with Krishna. It's interesting. It's a good question. Yeah.
Sorry, in this kind of, I have one kind of question. Like in South India, I think you heard of in Tamil Nadu, Kerala,
yeah.
They follow Ayyappa.
Ayyappa, yeah, I'm more aware.
They say that Vishnu being Mohini mean like Mohini and Lord Shiva, we had come together so that Ayyappa came. But Prabhupada says that there is no such kind of
Ayyappa. There's no such a, that's a concoction. When one time, yeah, Lord Shiva has no conjugal relationship, even in the male form. But there's the story that one time Lord Shiva wanted to see Mohini Murti. That's in the Bhagavatam. And then Krishna exhibited his form as Mohini Murti, and then Lord Shiva started chasing after her. And anyway, he had some problems there. Not really problems. I mean, it was part of a pastime. And so that's not really that he has. It's just that Krishna manifested a female form, but there was no relationship there. Because Lord Shiva, in this material world, is associated with Maya or Durga. And Krishna never associates with illusion or Maya or Durga. He never comes in contact. Yes. It's described that in the Brahma Samhita that when Vishnu creates the material world, he does it through his glance. And the glance is Lord Shiva, the Shambhu. So he never touches matter. I mean, even you say, well, God is in your heart, but, you know, technically speaking, his influence is in the heart, his reflection is in the heart. And Prabhupada gives the example, the Vedas give the example. It's like a reflection of the moon on many bodies of water. Like you could say, hey, look at the moon on that lake. And for one side, one way, the moon is on the lake. But another way, it's not really there. You know, or sometimes you open the curtains on a sunny day, and you say, let the sun in. But you're not really letting the sun in. You're letting the sun shine in manifestation. So Krishna is in the heart in a sense, but he's not materially situated. It's not that if you did an open heart surgery, you'd find Krishna standing there, or even the soul. And the interesting thing is the soul is never in contact with matter either. Because it's the illusion, Krishna's illusory energy, that convinces the soul that he's in contact with matter. It's just like virtual reality. I think you all know what virtual reality is. No? Anyway, so it's like that movie The Matrix. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Matrix. Yeah, Matrix. You know, where they were living in... How come you know that? you're from India. You're supposed to be pure. So it's like the movie The Matrix, that, you know, you take the blue pill or the red pill to get out of there. And then, yeah, I'll give you an example. Like one time, I went with another devotee, kind of funny, to an amusement park. Actually, it was an exhibit. It was for people who sold amusement park exhibits, because we were like looking from Mayapur, because we want to put like amusement park stuff in Mayapur. So it was this three-dimensional ride. You put on these glasses, and you sit down, and the thing shifts from one side to another. You've probably seen those things.
No, but I'm imagining it. So it's like...
And I was getting sick. I was always throwing up. I did. Throw my glasses away, you know, because the illusion was so intense that I was getting sick from this, you know, from the ride. And it wasn't a ride, you know, like the other rides, you know, when you go on a roller coaster, that's understandable. So you get into the illusion of things. So like a dream, that's another example. It's not actually happening. I mean, yes, this world is actually happening, but we're not, in one sense, we're not here.
How do you know this one? Because when I'm doing preaching in South Bangalore there, we use this movie...
The Matrix.
And Inception.
Inception?
Yeah, there is one more movie called Inception.
Really, you are very sophisticated. You've seen more movies than I have.
The Sanskrit version.
What's you use for preaching clips.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, it's virtual reality, basically. You can, you're not there, but you're just, for all intents and purposes, you're experiencing it like you were there. A dream is another example of that. But, you know, the material world does exist. We're not saying, like the Beatles said, nothing is real, strawberry fields forever. It's the world is real, but how we perceive it is actually illusion. Or that we perceive that we are in this world, we are perceived that we are, you know, this body. It's like, you know, just like driving a car, that you become so attached to it that you know, basically become part of the car. You know, I've never had that experience. But I guess a race car driver has that experience, you know, it's just like you and the machine are one. And so we and this machine are, for all intents and purposes, one, but we're not one. And that's anyway, virtual reality. It's a heavy place. And you have to leave the machine. That's a hard thing. I was thinking about that. That, I mean, it's one thing to leave the machine, you know, it's pretty easy. Or not so easy. But you have all these people that you know, that you like, and you want to be with, and you just go away and you can't be with them anymore. It's heavy, isn't it? You know, it's just like, oh, I owe my friends and my family and all that. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's frightening, isn't it? Yeah. Even like you're in the, you know, I was even thinking, you're in the movement and you have all these people you really like to hang out with.
Yeah.
And you leave the body, or they leave the body, they're not there. You know, because I remember some of my godbrothers, because, you know, at my age, I know people, a lot of people who passed away. Like one of my godbrothers, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, maybe you've heard his name before. Yeah. Very great devotee. He and I traveled together for many years. I was always a good friend. And then, yeah, I would visit him. He was in Washington, D.C. He was preaching to a lot of really high-class people in Washington, D.C., the people in the Congress, ambassadors and everything like that. He was the original, I wouldn't say Krishna West, Krishna Africa preaching. He dressed like an African prince. You know, with the whole outfit and everything like that. And, you know, he was really cool. And he was an African prince. Actually, he got accepted by one of the kingdoms down there or something like that. And so he put on this particular guise, or disguise, as the case may be. And, you know, he's a great devotee. And then all of a sudden, or, you know, within a short period of time, he's gone. And, you know, you see this all the time. It's just like, wow. And then the most amazing thing is you're thinking, it's not going to happen to me. There's this discussion between Yudhisthira and Yamaraj, and the question was raised, what is the most amazing thing? That we see everybody going bye-bye. Everyone else is going, everybody goes, but not me. And we all think like that. I mean, it's just amazing. We know the philosophy, and we're just thinking, you know, not me, you know, I'll come back here to Govardhan every year, do as I can, enjoy life, and swing on my swing. Anyway, enough depressing thoughts. So anyway, the main thing is we're not actually here in this world, because we're not capable of touching matter, because we're spirit. We're capable of thinking we're matter, because we're tiny. But we can't touch matter. You know, spirit doesn't touch matter. It identifies with matter, but it doesn't touch it. It's really cool.
That means, Gurudev, like, I heard, like, that we are, like, that means we are not in this world. But, like, we are, like, reality.
Well, for all intents and purposes, we are, because we're attached. Like, in Buddhism, like, you have the Four Noble Truths. You know, everyone's miserable, first one.
Yeah.
Second one is misery is caused by attachment.
Yeah.
Third one, you give up the attachment, yeah, no misery. And the fourth one is, of course, you know, you got to follow the Eightfold Path to be able to do that. So, it's amazing, you know, attachment. You know, just like if you watch a movie, this is the other thing, you go to a movie, and you actually can start crying in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially the ladies, they cry. So because of, you know, some lover and beloved, you know, some romance story like that. And then, I mean, you really identify with it. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like when I was young, I would always watch this Star Trek on TV. it's interesting. So someone bought me this shirt with this little Star Trek insignia. And I really like to wear it. You know, I feel real cool, you know, just wearing Star Trek. You know. But it's exactly a Star Trek shirt.
Oh.
You know, just, it's form-fitting, like, you know, the Star Trek people wore. You know what I'm talking about?
It's like a uniform.
Yeah, it's like the uniform. It's just like, wow. And I feel so cool when I go for a walk with wearing my Star Trek shirt. Then But then, you know, and then recently I visited someone's house, and the kids had just watched Star Wars, and the kids were dressed up like Darth Vader, and they really felt like it. You know, the kids dressed up with a mask. And identifying with it. Or a good actor, like when I went to university, I studied acting. There's a particular type of philosophy of acting called method acting. Did you hear that before? Stanislavski was the originator of that. And that method acting is when you actually get into the role, you know, you prepare yourself. It's not acting anymore, it's just like, you know, I am Darth Vader.
That's crazy.
And sometimes people get so much into the role, they don't get out of the role. Just like they're in the movie, and in the movie they get married to someone, so then right after that, they dump their wife and get married to the person they were married to in the movie. So that's all illusion. It's all illusion, you know, because you get attached. And of course, the Gita says that when you contemplate something, I'm sure you know this verse, contemplating sense objects, you get attached to them. And then from attachment comes lust, and lust comes anger. Jayate Vusha Pum Sam Sangha Steshu Vajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Krodha Vajayate. So that's really the point. We're attached because we're contemplating this, and we just like, it's me. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the nicest sannyasi of them all? You know. Yeah, and then we take selfies of us doing whatever we're doing. So anyway, so that's an interesting discussion. I don't know how we got into it, but. Yeah, we got it because you asked a question about Lord Shiva, and there was the question about our attachment, whether we're here or not in this material world, and also the super soul.
In that connection, just I have one doubt, it's not a question. Yeah. Like, Prabhupada summarizes it, says that, like, actually in spiritual world, we are dreaming.
Yes.
We are dreaming. That means we are there, but, like, how.
Not in the spiritual world, we're not dreaming. Okay. Here, we're dreaming.
Okay.
We're dreaming. Like, you know, the example Prabhupada usually gives is that at night we have a dream that lasts for, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And during the daytime we have a dream that lasts for at most 100 years. That's the example Prabhupada traditionally gives. And, you know, so many interesting dreams we have at night. And then they're gone. And sometimes you wake up and you think, I want to go back to sleep and continue that one. It was cool, you know. I was driving a Tesla, you know, wow. I had a dream once that I was a member of, this is serious, a member of Donald Trump's cabinet.
I dream not a
nightmare. It wasn't exactly a nightmare, it was just like I just discovered myself in the White House, you know, doing. Because I guess, it, you know, you contemplate someone enough, you get attached to them, so. So and I woke up and I was, well, what a dream. So it's like that. I mean, it is like a dream. But it's real in one sense, because I'm not like the impersonalist or, you know, some types of Buddhists will say, this is not real, or it's just like, or, you know, actually, they take reference to science and say this, you know, it's just a bunch of empty space, which is true. Actually, most, you know, matter is just a bunch of empty space. Even if you look at the atoms, the electrons, and everything like that, you know, it's all empty. Like we compressed it together, it'd be nothing basically. So they say it's not real, and it. There's even another philosophy, and I forget the name of it, this is a typical name of the philosophy, that you're the only real person. You probably,
solipsism.
What? Solipsism, yeah. Solipsism, it's called.
Yeah.
It's called solipsism. Yeah. That if you don't perceive something, in other words, you're all figments of my imagination. You know, it's like the typical thing, if a tree falls in the forest and I'm not there to see it, it didn't actually fall. So, you know, I'm the only living entity and you're all figments of my imagination. You're like a dream, you know, you're all dreams and I'm real. So, I mean, there's all this crazy stuff. But really, this world is real. I mean, this is, you know, this exists. This energy exists. It's temporary. Krishna says in the Gita that those things that are temporary are considered unreal in one sense, because the form keeps changing. Like, the material energy is endlessly mutable. In other words, always changing. Even something that appears to be static or stable is not, you know, time. There's the time factor. So oftentimes I use the example of glass, which appears to be stable, but after time, you know, see the glass settles, it's almost like a very slow liquid. Sometimes, like, we see old glass in old buildings, you see the glass actually is flowing a little bit. So Krishna says in the Gita that those things which come into existence and cease to exist are called unreal. In other words, the forms, in one sense, are unreal. They're there, but they're unreal because they're not tattvas. They don't exist eternally. But the energy is a tattva, is a category that continues to exist. And that's very similar to the scientific theory that, you know, matter and energy can neither be destroyed or created. They can only change in form. You know, that's a conservation of energy. Law of conservation of energy. That you can change energy to matter, matter and energy. And actually they are pretty much interchangeable, at least according to quantum theory. I mean, if you take a light, for example, light can act as energy or a particle, depending on how you test it. You know, you got photons, which are actually particles, and then you have the wave aspect of light, which is just like pure energy. So, you know, the scientists come up with so many theories to try to understand what it is, you know, but they still haven't really understood. And there are many theories, the string theory, that everything is ultimately vibrating little tiny strings, you know, nano strings. So, anyway, any other questions about those points? It's an interesting discussion. Because we start talking about the rasas and the bhavs.
No, the same connection, of course, there is one more kind of doubt, like, where, like, when we go back to spiritual world, all the our like devotees, we have been there actually, like that.
Yeah.
So when we are left, actually, when we go back, the devotees who are there, they say, oh, so quickly you came back.
It's so quick you don't even notice it. The time factor is not there. The material time factor is not there in the spiritual world. So it's like you're not gone from the spiritual world. Because there's just no time factor there. I mean, there's a progression of activities, certainly, but it's not like the material time. It's completely different than the material time factor. So it's a question. I mean, even the heavenly planets, let's say if you were gone from Brahmaloka for a year or something like that, it'd be like an instant. That's even the heavenly planet. Like when Krishna, Lord Brahma stole the cows and calves, the calves and the cowherd boys, it was just like, for an instant, he just like thought, uh-oh, am I doing the right thing? For like a, you know, love a mantra or something. And then he came back as a year later. Yeah, so the time is experienced differently. But that's even in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no concept of material time. So it's just like, and of course, you will have learned your lesson. You know, people always ask the question, will I remember? You know, what I did. You know, I had so much fun in the material world. You know, it's just like two new devotees talking to each other and saying, You want to hear about my Maya before I join the movement? They do that. They ask you. Yeah. Want to hear how much marijuana I smoked? How many girlfriends I had? You know what else I did? and they talk about it with each other. I mean, it's amazing. They actually have a whole discussion. Brahmachari ashram. So it's not like when you go back to the spiritual world, you know, sit around with the gopis or the cowboys or Mother Yashoda, you say to Mother Yashoda, you want to hear about my experiences in the material world? Because, you know, why are you going to want to remember? I mean, you'll definitely connect to the people who you were with in the material world who went back to God, I guess. They probably said, we have an ISKCON in the spiritual world, we have associates in the spiritual world. But, you know, you just, why would you remember Donald Trump, you know? Or anything, you know, it's just like, and you're really just absorbed in the moment in the spiritual world. You know, like people talk about being absorbed in the here and now. And that's really what it's like. I mean, you're not thinking so much about, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to, what else? You know, you're not thinking. You're just, every moment is like a moment of ecstasy. It's a drama. There's a drama and ecstasy, and you're experiencing the bhavas that we mentioned, you know, that not just we mentioned, Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami mentioned. You're experiencing that at every moment. And so it's just like, it's nectar. It's like being in, it's like being in Disneyland and not having to wait online. Do you ever go to Disney World or Disneyland?
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty boring.
It's a lot of waiting online.
Yeah, and they hide the lines, so you can't really see that how long the lines are. You think it's just around the corner. And then get around the corner, and there's another like 100 meters. And finally, you get on this ride.
That lasts like half a minute.
Yeah, about half a minute you're waiting. That's a material world. It's like going to Disneyland. But the spiritual world is like being on the ride all the time. Yeah, you just don't get off the ride. And it's just so really, you know, it's nice. Of course, it's all based on love of Krishna. It's not just like an amusement park where you just get to enjoy your body and your mind, but you get to serve Krishna. And it's like a love story, a constant love story with all sorts of intense emotions. You know, there's like this separation. You know, it's not just like, all you need is love, you know, like some Bollywood dance or something where they just sit around and just look at each other's eyes eternally. So that would be pretty boring. But it's, you know, it's all, like I said, the secondary rasas keep it interesting. It's like vegetables without spices are not interesting. But when you add the spices, it gets interesting. And who cares about a potato without anything on it? And then, of course, that's my diet. You know what Prabhupada said? That when they were giving Prabhupada this unspiced food, and Prabhupada said, let the starvation committee go to hell. Because they were trying to keep Prabhupada healthy. And they were giving him all this stuff, you know, like I eat. And Prabhupada said, let them go. And then Prabhupada just ate whatever he wanted to eat. So it's like that in the spiritual world. Everything's tasty. All right. Actually, it's after 6 already. That was fast. Then we have prasadam ready?
Yeah, ready.
No other questions? Or? It's an interesting discussion. And tomorrow we can continue reading. Tomorrow, hopefully it doesn't rain tomorrow morning so we can go on parikrama. Now that If it rains tomorrow, I'll go to Vrindavan just for the morning. If it doesn't rain, then I'm planning on the next day, Thursday, to go to Vrindavan, just to see the deities and to see some people there, just for the morning. And there won't be Purukrama that morning. I hope that's all right.
Yeah.
So, Gokul Chandra, you're leaving when?
Thursday.
Oh, you're leaving Thursday. And, yeah, so tomorrow we'll actually complete the whole bunch of the third Purukrama.
Do we start off kind of where we left off today, or we...
We'll start off, yeah, where we left off, where we got the rickshaws. Mm-hmm. That's where we start off. And tomorrow, what we're going to see is, first thing we're going to see the Manasi Ganga. We'll talk about that. Then we're going to see Haridev, the self-manifested deity of Krishna, the gopi, that he manifests when the gopis were looking for him. And then we'll see Lord Shiva, who protects the Manasi Ganga area, actually protects the whole Govardhan. And then we'll see Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. Then we'll see Saki Kun, where all the gopis meet. Then we'll see, we'll also see the chakra tree.
Is that where that little, like, Uddhava temple is?
We'll see the Uddhava temple, yeah, that's later. We'll see that tomorrow. There's a devotee, one of my friends who runs that temple, Soul Life, he's been pujari there. That's Giri Raj, you know, he runs that temple. And that's the Uddhava temple, Uddhava Kund. And then we just go around Radha Kund again, but not the complete Purukrama like we did. And then we end up going to Kushima Sarovara. Kushma Sarovara, and if we have time, we can go to Narada Kund, and we can go to Ratna Kund, and Vanavihari Temple, because it's run by the devotees. You've probably been there.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so we go there, and then back to the city of Govardhan, and then back here. It'll take a little longer tomorrow. We'll probably be back tomorrow by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I think. Today we did the lower portion of Govardhan. But it's good to take our time when we do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you try to do the whole thing one day, can't do the Radha Kund visits or anything like we did. It just takes, you know, it's just too quick. Everything rushes by and then people's feet hurt. Okay, stay prasadam. All glory to Prabhupada. What happened to Praneshra?
He left to her job.
Kishori. See all the nice people?